The stress I felt that night of thinking I'm going to die and just being so stressed out, it was identical to the kind of stress that I felt every single day before I decided to sell everything I owned and travel. And that was sort of shocking to think. The stress of thinking you're going to die in 8 weeks used to be the same stress I had at trying to make payroll and produce all these videos and, you know, be the online person and do all that stuff. When I got the news from the doctor, it was a sense of complete relief. It's like when you're a little kid and you're in trouble and you know it and you've done something horrendous and your mom comes in and says, "It's okay. I'll take care of it." And you're off the hook. It's that kind of push, just a wonderful sense. And so then I thought, I need to record this to make sure that I get all the words and stuff right because I was so excited. So I had the doctor say into my phone so I could send that to my family. So yeah, I've got it on a video on my iPhone. Yeah.
I'm here with my doctor. This is Dr. Lydia. Is that right?
Hello. Hi. Yeah.
Okay, really fast. Tell them what you just told me.
Oh, okay. His right lung is bigger than the left lung, so it's pushing the trachea to the side, which is a normal variant. So it's
just my lung.
Mm-hmm. Just your lung.
Just my lung. Oh my gosh.
Welcome to the We Are Photographers podcast from Creative Live. I'm your host, Kenna Klosterman, bringing you true stories from behind the lens and behind the lives of your favorite photographers, filmmakers, and creative industry game changers. From their struggles to their wins, we get the real human stories about why they do what they do. I believe there is something to learn from everyone's story. If you're ready to join us in the hustle, listen, get inspired, and discover why, in the end, the creative journey is all worth it. Mark Wallace is a photographer, educator, and has been exploring the world solo on his motorcycle for years. Mark has created hundreds of photography tutorials sponsored by Snap Factory and Adorama. His most popular series are Digital Photography One-on-One and Exploring Photography, in addition to his popular lighting classes here on Creative Live. In this episode, Mark and I talk about what he's learned about being human from 5 years of nonstop traveling to all seven continents multiple times, and how his approach to storytelling and photography have changed. We talk about why he intentionally sets out to have conversations with people that he doesn't agree with, and how he recovered from the downward spiral of hallucinations and depression from side effects of anti-malarial medication in Kenya. We talk about the silver lining of his motorcycle being stolen in the UK, and you'll be surprised by his advice to the hundreds of people who tell him that it's their life's passion to travel around the world on their motorcycle. This is We Are Photographers with Mark Wallace, and this is his story. Mark Wallace, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Tell me, where are you right now as we are recording this? And then tell me where you've been for the past 5 years.
Okay. Right now, I am in a tiny, echoey little hotel room in Paris, France. And in the last 5 years, I have been to every continent two or three times, I think, to 57 countries at last count, something like that. But for me, it's more about the experience than the number. But yeah, just hanging around the world.
For people that don't know what you've been doing in all of these continents, you've been on a solo bike ride for part of it. When I say bike, I mean motorcycle. Tell us more about Mark on a bike and what set you off on this journey.
Well, there's a lot of things that set me off. That would probably be another hour-long podcast. So let's just sum it up by saying I really wanted to seek new experiences and learn a lot about myself and discover different cultures and people and grow as a person and also find some stability for my mental health, because I was thinking that the intense social media craziness that I was involved in and still pretty much am, this wasn't really good for me. So I needed a break from that and to do some things I wanted to do out of life. That's the nutshell. And so, yeah, about 3 years ago, 2016, January, I returned to the United States after traveling for 2 years, and I bought a motorcycle because I had always had this dream of riding around the world on a motorcycle, and I did. So I left in 2016, and I started going south, went out to Buenos Aires and hit Africa and then to Europe and then across Siberia and then Southeast Asia and then all around Australia and then back to the Balkans for a little bit, and now I'm heading back to the United States. That's the summary of 5 years.
And you say it like so nonchalantly, but because that has been because that has been your experience. But to those of us who've been watching you on this adventure, or even have the thought of, gosh, someday I would want to travel the world. I mean, it's something that most people talk about. If I could do anything, I would travel the world. What have you learned about yourself through this journey?
I've learned a few important things. The first is that I don't need as much as I thought I did, as far as things and clothes and just the stuff that Americans are so famous for loving. And I've always known that we don't need all that stuff. That's nothing really new. I just hadn't experienced it before. And so that was really essential. The other thing that I've learned is the sense of community and how important that is for having a healthy lifestyle, having friends and family, and being not just staying in touch by sending messages or something, but actually having some really serious and significant connections through conversation and experience. And so, yeah, those are probably the most important things. And I've been doing a lot of reading and looking at art and having conversations with people that I don't agree with, that's really been really good for me, to talk to different people of different faiths and experiences and cultures, and to start to understand things from their perspective as best that I can. And also being separated from the American culture now for 5 years, when I look at the news and talk to my American friends, it's really sort of an interesting experience, because a lot of the things that I'd heard from people overseas about how crazy Americans are, I now, some of those things, think, yeah, we're crazy. Americans are crazy. Why do they do that? And so it's going to be really interesting to come back after being gone for so long to see how I've changed. I think I'm looking forward to it.
So you've interacted with all these people all over the world. I want to go back to you saying that you have had a lot of conversations or trying to learn about people that you thought you didn't agree with. And I think that's really interesting and something that we don't necessarily intentionally do. And that's certainly caused a lot of issues currently. Is there something you used to believe that you no longer do?
There are many things that I believed as a child and growing up and through my 20s that have changed in my later adult years. I grew up in a very, very conservative Southern Baptist family and was raised in a very fundamentalist Bible-believing background. And so there are things that are like dancing will send you into a sinful swirl of nastiness. I don't believe that anymore. And alcohol, one look at it and you're going straight to hell. Things like that. There are some theological things that I no longer believe. But there are also things that are more serious than that have changed for me. Specifically things about my relationships with people of different faiths, my relationships with people of different sexual identities, and those kinds of beliefs. And also my interaction with people from other parts of the world and their beliefs about the United States. And in my background, I was raised almost with a Crusades kind of a belief system that God had ordained the United States to manifest destiny, that kind of thing. And so I no longer believe those types of things. So to try to not get too far into that kind of stuff, there's a lot of that has changed with my belief system. Thinking of the things that I've learned about myself, And through the travels, one of the things that I've been able to do is read a lot. And one of the guys I've really enjoyed reading is Thoreau, Henry David Thoreau. And of course, his really famous statement about he went into the woods because he wanted to live life deliberately. And I'm going to misquote this, but he wanted to break life down into the essential facts and to see what he could learn from that, the good and the bad. And if it was bad, to get all of the bad and understand it. And if it was good, to get all of the good and understand that. And I think the travel and the journey for me is sort of boils down to that same type of Walden experience, where I wanted to minimalize the things that I owned and the interactions that I had with the unknown people, specifically social media, and really boil life down to something that was much more containable and healthy and figure my stuff out. So yeah, that's really been fantastic for me.
You're still creating content. You're still making videos. So how do you balance this, the seeking all these other things while still having to make stay grounded in some kind of way because you still have to earn a living?
Yeah, and Jesus still had to make tables and chairs when he started out. I'm positive. So not that I'm Jesus, but the truth is you have to pay your bills and eat and all of those types of things. And so I still get a lot of joy and really, really have fun making videos for Adorama or whoever else is asking me to make videos. And the travel videos, I wish I could make more of those, but just because of internet and time and trying to actually stay up with the work I'm paid to do, I haven't been able to do as much of that. So one of the great things about riding a motorcycle is that you have what we call helmet time. So you might have a 6 or 8 or 10 hour day where you don't talk to anybody all day. And that might be day one and day two and day three and day four. You might have 4 or 5 or 6 days like that. And so you just think. And so it's great because you think of all these different things you can do and ways you can make videos and situations. And in normal life, you just don't get that much space to just think. And so, yeah, it's actually easier, I think, now to create content, apart from not having a studio and a staff and normal internet connection and those types of things. But as far as the brain part of it, it's a little bit easier because life is a little bit more peaceful.
Can you take us to a time when you're on the road by yourself, you're not seeing anybody else? Like, what are the different senses, not just the thinking part?
The helmet time and the time alone is really drastically different based on the interaction with other people and the amount of time that you're just by yourself. And so in Africa and Siberia and parts of South America, but mainly it was in Africa and Siberia, there were times where I didn't have a normal conversation with anybody for weeks. And that was probably the most difficult thing I've ever gone through. So I could have conversations like, where are you from? I'm from America. Oh, what kind of motorcycle? It's a BMW. It's a 1200 and it's big. And yeah, I can sit on it. But when you talk about why did you start traveling and you want to start talking about some kind of existential belief or your past or something, I don't have the vocabulary to translate that into what other language. And so that's when it became really frustrating. And what I found was during those times that my emotional well-being really started to take a dramatic dive, going to a place that was really, really negative, depression and loneliness and the feeling of absolute isolation. And the thing that really, really helped was being able to talk to people and friends on WhatsApp. And I have a little satellite communicator doing that. But it just doesn't, there's no substitute for having face-to-face conversation. And so in Africa, I actually was taking some anti-malarial medication. And there's two different kinds. There's one you take every day, and there's one you can take once a week. And I was taking the once a week kind. And there's all kinds of warnings on that I didn't think were real. There are things like you can hallucinate, you can have massive depression, all these things. And so all of that stuff happened to me. And so not only was I isolated and wasn't having conversations with people, I was having massive bouts of rage. I almost beat up a police officer at one point because I was really mad that he pulled me over for speeding because it was a speed trap. There's a video. I have a video of me going crazy that I have to find. I recorded myself going crazy. I was in my tent and a snake bit my arm and had embedded its fangs in my arm. And I woke up thrashing and I was trying to get this snake off me and I threw him out of the tent and I was like, wah! And then I realized none of that was happening. It was all hallucination. There was no snake, nothing. That was sort of crazy. That was into the spiraling crazy thing. And at that same time, my dad was getting, he was really, really ill. And so my plan was to go from South Africa all the way to Egypt and then take a ferry to Europe. And I got to Nairobi and I was so in fear of my emotional health that I actually flew to London. And then I went down and stayed with Gavin Hoey and his wife for about a week or so. And they didn't know that I was crazy. I mean, they know I'm crazy, but they had no idea that I was in this state of mind. They're just great friends. And so that was sort of the beginning of really understanding how important community and having those healthy relationships, what that was all about.
How did you reset? I mean, those are crazy stories.
Well, there was a thing that happened in London right after I came from Nairobi. So I flew from Nairobi to London, and there was this event that happened that was sort of a blessing and a curse. I was heading down to see Gavin. We were going to do some Adorama TV videos, and then I was just going to keep going and zip across Russia and onto the Sea of Japan. But I was on my way to an interview with Doug McKinley. We were going to do some stuff about travel and all of that. So I stayed an extra day in Greenwich, that's part of London. When I woke up, my motorcycle had been stolen. And so all of a sudden, I had no motorcycle. It was just gone. And so what happened was, fortunately, the police found the motorcycle, but it was smashed up and had to be repaired. So it took about 5 weeks for the bike to be rebuilt. And so during that time, the drugs and all the stuff that was in my system, it takes about 8 weeks for that to all go away. So the majority of that was gone. But then I was able to spend a lot of time with Gavin Hoey and Sam, his wife, and just sort of relax and work and just have a lot of fun. So one of the great things about Gavin and Sam is they are really, really fun people to be with. And so we watched these funny British sitcoms. I got addicted to this show called The Taskmaster, where Gavin and I actually made videos based on this crazy show. Nobody knows that's what it's based on, but it is all of our photo challenges. And yeah, I just had fun with friends. And so that was a good way to reset. And then from there, I traveled down to Spain where I met Polo Arnaiz. He's a really, really, he's one of my best friends now. And Alicia Cernosa. So Alicia and I and Danny, another friend, were getting ready to go travel across the United States for a few months together. So I met this really amazing community of people in Madrid and stayed there for a couple of weeks longer than I thought I was going to stay. And then I met some really good friends in Germany. And so the whole motorcycle being stolen delayed my departure from Europe by about 3 months. But during that time, I got connected to a community of people that I'm still deeply connected to. And so, yeah, it was very fortuitous that that happened.
I do want to talk about, because, you know, we stayed in touch while you've been on the road. And there was a time when you told me that you had learned that you thought you were going to die. Can you describe?
Yes.
What happened when not just you thought you were going to die, like, oh, I'm, you know, feeling really bad, but a doctor told you you were going to die?
What happened is I had to go to a doctor to get my health clearance, to get my visa to go to Australia. So I was in Malaysia. And so you go to this clinic, and it's a really well-run clinic, and they do a chest x-ray to make sure you don't have tuberculosis. And then they do blood samples to make sure you don't have any kind of crazy diseases. That's basically it. So you go, you do a quick x-ray, they take your blood, and then they look at everything and they give you a thumbs up and you get your visa and off you go. So I'd done all my tests and I was waiting in the waiting room and people were being called to get their paperwork and they're just leaving. So it was like, you know, Ms. Klosterman, Trump, and you go, you get your stuff, out you go. And then it was Bob Jones, he goes, out he goes. So then they called my name and they said, Mr. Wallace, go see the doctor. I'm like, what the heck? So, like, that's not normal. So I had to go see the doctor, and I forgot the doctor's name. I'll see if I can remember it. But she brought me in, and she showed me this x-ray, and she showed me, so it was just a chest x-ray. So there are little spots all over. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've got lung cancer. And she said, no, it's not that, but look at your esophagus. And my esophagus, you know, it's supposed to go straight down, but mine has a significant bend in it. It looks almost like a question mark. And she said, that is not right. So there is a mass somewhere like at the base of my neck where my neck joins my body. And that mass, because of where it is, it can only really be one thing, and that is a cancerous mass. And so they explained all the medical terms. What it boiled down to was that I had a type of cancer, a tumor, that was probably spreading through my body and just a few weeks to live at the most. So they said what they'd need to do is take some more tests to do a CT scan, I guess is what it was, and to look and do 3D imaging and figure out where this thing was and then biopsy it and see what to do. So I have some friends in the United States that are good friends of mine that are also doctors. And so I sent them copies of the x-rays, and this was on WhatsApp, and they wrote me back and said, you need to come back to the United States tonight if you can, immediately. Do not wait. This is really, really serious. And so that night I thought, this is it. According to everybody I know and trust, and according to the doctors, I have something that's going to kill me within a matter of weeks. That's it. So the next day I went back to the doctor, and they did the 3D imaging CT scan, I think that's what it's called. And then I had to wait in this freezing clinic. And finally, they said, come on in. And the doctor had a big smile on her face. And she said, the thing that's pushing your esophagus is your lung. You have a big lung. That's it. There's nothing there. It's just your lung. And no horrible disease, nothing. And of course, they sent all the imaging files to my friends in America, and they said, yeah, you got a big lung. So that's it. I learned I have, my right lung is really big.
Did that change the way you approach life? I mean, what were, in those few days that you, or in that short period of time that you thought you were going to die quickly, what did you think about what you wanted to do with your life? I mean, what went through your mind, and how has that changed?
Well, it was very interesting for me because this is the second time I've had an experience similar to that. The first time was in my mid-30s. I had a similar experience. I had valley fever, and they thought it was cancer. And it was, oh my gosh, what am I doing? What have I done? I need to redesign my entire life. And it was this huge midlife crisis launch. This time in Malaysia, when I had that experience, I only had two thoughts, really, two significant thoughts. One was, dang, I'm not going to be able to finish the sixth continent because Australia was my last continent to finish on the motorcycle. So I was really disappointed that I wasn't going to finish that goal. And then the other one was, I don't really want to die by myself. And so, you know, I'm alone here, and that sort of stinks. I wish that I was with someone. But other than that, it was a really amazing confirmation that what I was doing in life was the right thing to be doing, because I didn't have any regrets. The only disappointment really was that I wasn't finishing what I was already doing. And so that was a really nice gift to get to understand in a really, really tangible way that the things that I'd set out to do 5 years earlier, 4 years earlier, were working, and that I was actually in a healthy place that I wasn't when I left on the trip.
What a beautiful gift then, in the end, to reaffirm what you were doing. That's really wild.
Yeah, I would never want to get it like that again. That is really no fun. And it's also, you know, let's not forget that there are many hundreds of thousands of people that get that same message, and they don't get the, it's just a long message. And so I don't want to, you know, underplay the fact that that's a really serious and significant thing. I'm just thankful that I have a big lung, and that's not what it was.
Mark, we haven't yet even touched on photography. And that's okay, because this podcast is all about the photographer and the why we do what we do. Is there anything about travel that has changed the way that you see, not just in life in general, but see through the camera?
The truth is, I've been traveling much longer than I've been making photos. And the reason I began to make photographs and to do that was because I'm really more interested in telling stories and trying to take the viewpoints and the experiences that I've had and showing them to other people. And that's really, for me, what photography is about. And so what I've learned over the past probably 10 years since I've been doing the Adorama stuff and the things about travel is that I really have to grow my artistic disciplines, because photography at this point, I think, is falling short in the kinds of stories I want to tell. And so in the past year or so, I've tried to really start writing more. And I've been working a little bit with some podcast experiments, because the inner dialogue that I have, especially with all the helmet time, just doesn't translate to the photos. And so now what I'm trying to focus my attention on doing is to tell stories in a way that I can not only use words, but photos as well. So I'm trying to combine those things. And I think over the next year or so, you're going to start to see Mark Wallace, the artist, changing quite a bit, because I think I'm at the end point of where I can be with photography alone. I'm just not as creative as a lot of photographers are who can tell a full story with the photo. I don't have that gift. And so I'm more of an look at something and observe it and photograph it in the best way possible. But to then explain all of that and the why and what's happening and what are these people feeling, I really want that to go along with that photo. And so that's something that has changed in my artistic thinking over the past 5 years or so.
You've had so many experiences that you've seen, more than probably 99.99999% of the planet. What are the stories that you want to tell?
Well, I would disagree with that premise. I think that the things that I have seen aren't more, they're just different than what somebody else has seen. And the stories that I'd love to tell are the same stories that I think somebody like my brother would want to tell. So my brother is one of my personal heroes. He's got two kids. He's been married to his elementary school sweetheart. And, you know, his life is a life of family and nurturing and faith and all kinds of things. But on paper, we are very, very different. I've been all over the world for years, and he's been in Kansas for years. But I think our stories would be very similar. And those stories are stories of questioning what we believe and why. And how do we convey that to the next generation? So his next generation is literally his children. My next generation are the people that read the things I write on my blog, the people that see my photos, and the social media stuff. So it's a little bit different in those terms, but the stories are the same. How do we find love? How do we maintain love? How do we find happiness? Where do we find faith? What do we believe? Why do we believe that? What is true? So I don't think there's any real difference in what I want to say and what everybody else wants to say. It's just that I have maybe a different perspective on the way I can say those things.
Thank you for making that distinction, because that's so true. We all have every day, same 24 hours in a day, and we're all having different experiences, but none is more than another.
None is more than another. And that's really important to understand that, well, there is something that's more than another. If you're sitting at home eating Cheetos, watching Family Feud for hours on end, then I'm sorry. What I have is more than what you have. I'm going to say that unashamedly. Yeah, I think there is more, but the point is made. If you're doing the most that you can in the situation that you're in, that's no more or less than me doing what I can with the situation that I'm in. We just don't want to squander that time. It doesn't matter if you're in Kansas full-time or if you're traveling the world full-time. You know, suck the marrow out of life wherever you are in whatever way that is appropriate for you.
So what is one thing that you, piece of advice you would give to people about being a better human?
Well, I have a personal philosophy about accomplishing the things that I want to accomplish. And the first thing is I meet many, many people that tell me, you're doing the one thing I want to do more than anything else in life. And my question to them is, why aren't you doing it? And then they'll reply with something like, I can't afford it. And then I'll reply with, how much does it cost? And then they'll say, I don't know. And my thought is, if you haven't even taken the very first step to figure out what it will cost to do what you want most out of life, then you must not want to do that most out of life. And so my advice is, if there's something you're passionate about doing, do the first step. Figure out what you need to do to get there. My friend Louis Giglio said, passion is the degree of difficulty we're willing to endure to accomplish the goal. If you're passionate about something, you at least need to endure the difficulty of figuring out what it's going to cost. And I know that sounds oversimplified, but I cannot tell you. I mean, it's hundreds of people that have told me, I want to ride around the world on a motorcycle, or I want to have this photography business, or I want to do, you fill in the blank. And my question, all right, what will it take for you to do it? I don't know. Like, well, get to it. What are you waiting for? At least figure out what the cost is, because until you quantify that, you can't even begin, which means you haven't even begun. It's just a wish. It's not a passion. So I would say that, figure out. So consider the cost of building a tower. Do that. Consider the cost. And then the second thing is, you will realize that the things that you want to do aren't as difficult as you think they are. It's such a freeing discovery that when you make a huge goal, my first big, big goal was to go to India for a couple of months. This was in my 20s. And when I got there, I realized this is not as hard as I thought it was going to be. It was liberating, because then it feels like you're Superman. You can do whatever you want. So yeah, figure it out and then do it.
Thank you for that, because I think it is ourselves that gets in our way the most, and these self-limiting beliefs that we have.
Right. Well, and I also have a gripe about social media, specifically influencers, and a lot of what's happening on social media right now. You could confuse a lot of accounts, photography accounts and creative accounts on Instagram. You could confuse those with a random quote generator. And so many people are looking at these amazing photographers or companies or blogs or whatever, and they're just seeing quotes day after day after day about, you know, be liberated, you're amazing, whatever, fill in the blank. You've seen the quotes. And that's it. They just read the quotes and like, yeah, that's so true. But they don't do anything with those quotes. And so I think it's better to stop reading the quotes and simplify things. Just go out. Say, okay, I want to go from A to B. How much does it cost? Okay, it costs X amount of dollars. How much is it going to take for me to earn X amount, and then earn it and do it? Forget the quote. Just do the thing.
Can I quote you on that?
You can. You can quote me on that.
Forget the quote. Do the thing. Now I'm going to quote that. Love it. Mark, what do you have coming up next? What can people look forward to seeing and hearing about that you are doing?
I'm excited that after 5 years of traveling around outside of the United States, I'm going to be back. By the time you hear this podcast, I will be in the United States. And I'm taking my good friend, Alicia Sornosa, and Danny, another good friend of mine, and we're going to the hidden parts of America. So I'm taking them to a rodeo. We're going to do some backcountry discovery routes. We're going to do the fire roads through Arizona and Colorado and see the Rockies. We're going to see the national parks. And all of that stuff, I will be making videos and doing Adorama TV videos, motorcycle videos, writing, recording, and being able finally to publish a lot more than I have in the past, simply because I'll have internet access. And so I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to be making stops in as many places as possible to hang out with people, to have a beer, to ride along on the bikes, to talk about photography and travel and life. But specifically, we will be having events in Phoenix, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Spokane, Denver, and places along the way. So I'm really excited about that. And all of the dates and locations and stuff. We're still working on the locations to dial those in, but the dates you'll see on markonabike.com. And then on Instagram, I'll be posting where we are every single day. So if you are zipping along, you can just meet us on the road and say hi. So J. Mark Wallace is my Instagram account. So we're really looking to make it a very, very interactive event for 3 solid months. And then after that, I'll be back in Phoenix to do some things that I can't tell you about now, but it's going to be along those similar lines.
Awesome. Well, everybody make sure that you go follow Mark and meet up with him if you can. As we've been talking about, it really is all about making these connections in any moment of your life.
Real connections.
Real connections.
Yes, real connections, real people.
Well, thank you so much for telling us just a little bit of your story.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on. It's been so good.
I'm Kenna Klosterman, and you've been listening to the We Are Photographers podcast from Creative Live. At Creative Live, we believe there's a creator and a photographer in all of us. And yes, that means you. If you're looking to get fresh perspectives, inspiration, or skills to boost your hobbies, business, or life, we've got a class or two, or thousands, for you to check out. Just head on over to creativelive.com. And for those of you who are brand new to Creative Live, welcome to our global community of over 10 million strong. We have a special gift just for you. Use the code WEAREPHOTOGRAPHERS at checkout and get $10 off your very first purchase. That code is WEAREPHOTOGRAPHERS, all one word, no spaces. And in fact, you can use that $10 off to pick up one of Mark Wallace's classes on Creative Live. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Thank you again to Mark Wallace.
What's up?
Mark Wallace.
Mark Wallace.